Good evening, everyone. This is the Bridge Project Podcast, and today we are going to speak on COVID-19, force majeure clauses, and law on frustration in India. We are also going to have a special guest, Ankitesh Oja, who is my batchmate, and who will speak in the later segment of this episode. As we know, there's a COVID outbreak right now in the world, which has affected almost 180 countries and is declared as a global pandemic by World Health Organization. Companies have been invoking force majeure clauses, and this is important, especially in the light of the fact that China is the epicenter of this virus. And it is also the epicenter of supply chain system in the globalized world, accounting for almost 35% of intermediate goods in the global value chain. So the impact on globalization and the commercial contracts which have been spread out in the global value chain is enormous. The government of India has also issued an official memorandum which declared COVID-19 as a force majeure event. Now, what is a force majeure event? Force majeure event is any event which discharges the parties to the contract from performing their obligations. And these events are listed in a clause known as force majeure clause. According to Hayden on Contract, a force majeure clause is a contractual term which, on happening of a specified event beyond a party's control, confers certain advantages on that party. The advantages may be an entitlement to bring a contract to an end or to excuse the party from further performance in whole or in part, or to claim an extension of time for performance. And these force majeure clauses can only be invoked when the happening of force majeure event is there. So the event has to come within the scope of that force majeure clause. Now, with respect to the current outbreak, the pertinent question for many companies would be whether COVID-19 would be a force majeure event or not. Now, it would be impossible to give a binary answer without analyzing the technicalities and terminologies of the contract and the substantive law of the countries. But the principle underlying the force majeure remains same. That is, to protect the sanctity of contract based on the Latin maxim pacta sunt servanda, the force majeure clause is construed narrowly. Now, what if the contract does not have force majeure clause? Because it is not always necessary that every contract has a force majeure clause. Or sometimes when it does, the event might not be covered within the force majeure clause. So that might be a problem for companies or businesses who have a narrow FM clause. At such times, the English doctrine, the doctrine of frustration, comes into play. This doctrine has been developed over many cases. One of the landmark English case, Taylor versus Caldwell, defines this doctrine as: a contract is frustrated under this doctrine if it becomes impossible to perform due to a post-contract event which has occurred without the party's intervention. In India, we have Section 56 of Indian Contract Act 1872 as a statutory form of this doctrine. It reads as: a contract to do an act which after the contract is made becomes impossible, or by reason of some event which the promisor could not prevent, unlawful, becomes void when the acts become impossible or unlawful. So this basically says that if after drafting the contract, the act becomes impossible or unlawful, then the contract would be frustrated. Now, what is impossibility? Because impossibility has not been defined in the act, courts have come with their own test regarding what that event shall be. So, impossibility has been held to include several heads. Some of the heads are death or incapacity of parties, where the performance of the contract depends upon the existence of the person. For example, a contract for performing in a concert. In this case, the performer has to be present for performing the contract. No one else can perform his contract for him. So in such contracts, the contract would be frustrated if the performer dies or becomes incapable of performing the contract. For example, if he becomes sick. Secondly, destruction of subject matter can be a ground for impossibility. That the very subject matter, if it gets destroyed, then the performance of the contract becomes impossible. In Taylor versus Caldwell, the contract was there for renting a music hall, and the music hall got destroyed. So the contract becomes impossible to perform, and hence it got frustrated. Now, in Satyabrata Ghosh versus Mugniram Bangar and Company, in 1954 Indian case law, which is still a landmark on lawn frustration in India, defined impossibility as an untoward event or change of circumstances which totally upsets the foundation upon which the parties entered the agreement. So there has to be an alteration, there has to be a vital change in circumstances that totally upsets, that is, it totally changes the foundation upon which the parties have come into an understanding that they want to perform the contract. So this kind of impossibility discharges the parties of their obligation. Now, one of the fundamental requirements of invoking this doctrine is that the frustrating event must be unforeseen and unexpected. That is, the party should not have assumed any kind of risk. They should not have considered in their contract that they might get to such a condition. They might get into, situation where that event would frustrate the contract. So if they have done so, that would essentially be a force majeure clause, that they have actually stipulated conditions. But doctrine of frustration comes when the parties have not even thought about that particular condition, right? So the event must be unforeseen by the parties. Now, I believe that it would be very easy to argue in the courts that COVID-19 was unforeseen in the light of official memorandum issued by the central government itself. And there have been no data that suggests that such an outbreak was possible in 2020. So it is very likely that courts will frustrate the most of the contracts on the basis of doctrine of frustration. But again, the nature of contract also decides whether the contract could be frustrated or not. Because there might be a case in which if raw materials have to be procured from a particular place, which is affected country, which is a COVID-19 affected country, but the other party says that the same goods can be procured from another country at reasonable same time. So there might, at a reasonable same price. So there might be chances that the contract would not be frustrated. So it all depends upon the terminologies and the facts of the cases. And this is a general view. Finally, what is the impact of frustration on contracts? Unlike English law, Indian law is very clear regarding the impact of frustration on contracts. It is based upon law of restitution, which essentially says, the section 65 essentially says that if the contract has become void by any circumstances, then any advantage which has been given under that void contract has to be restored to the party who has conferred that advantage. Or if that restoration is not possible, then compensation has to be made for that. Now, in the further segment, Ankitesh will discuss as whether commercial hardship can be a ground of frustration or not, and some international conventions, including UNIDROIT principles on contracts, and how hardship has been defined under those provisions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Soumitra, for allowing me to contribute to your podcast. To all the listeners, I am Ankitesh Oja, Soumitra's batchmate at HNLU. So we have discussed at length about the force majeure clauses and the doctrine of frustration. Now there's one more thing that needs our attention and that needs to be, you know, clarified. That is the concept of hardship. Because in my opinion, it's going to play out a huge role when contracting parties are going to, you know, use COVID-19 as a ground for non-performance of the contract. And it will be interesting for us to see how the courts are going to interpret this. So before we get into the complexities of hardship, let's understand it from the point of view of frustration. So as Soumitra has already discussed, a contract is frustrated and becomes impossible for performance when, after entering into the contract, the circumstances alter. And the alteration of circumstances is such that it altogether upsets the entire purpose of the contract. For example, if the subject matter of the contract itself gets destroyed, then it's impossible for the parties to perform the contract. Now, the question I want to address here is whether parties can argue in the wake of this COVID-19 that contract has become, you know, onerous or burdensome, and hence it wants the performance to be rendered impossible, or they want to invoke Section 56 of the Indian Contract Act. In other words, whether hardship can, you know, qualify to be an event which renders the contract impossible. Now, the Supreme Court has already answered this question in negative. So there's a landmark decision of Supreme Court in the case of Naihati Jute Mills. This is a 1967 decision. Here the court has said in very specific terms that it is not hardship or increase in price or material loss that brings about the doctrine of frustration into play. Now, by this decision, the Supreme Court has demarcated between an event which is causing merely hardship and an event which renders the performance of the contract impossible. This is another decision of the Supreme Court, which has been relied upon by a lot of high courts and by the Supreme Court itself in the recent decision. This is the case of Alopi Prasad. In this particular case, the court categorically held that there are, you know, these parties are not absolved from liabilities to perform the obligations merely because the performance of the contract has become onerous or, you know, burdensome. So, you know, by reading all these judgments, we come to the conclusion that mere, you know, commercial hardship or increase in price or material loss are not sufficient for a contract to be rendered impossible for performance. So there's a very recent judgment which I would like to discuss with you all. This is comparatively recent judgment, not very recent. This is a 2017 Supreme Court judgment, but it's recent in comparison to what we discussed earlier. So this is the case of Energy Watchdog versus CERC. In this particular case, what had happened was two power purchase agreements or PPAs were executed by Adani Group with Haryana and Gujarat based entities. Now the coal for the power project was to be procured from Indonesia. And suddenly Indonesia changed its coal policy or some policy which resulted in, you know, increment in the price of coal. Now Adani filed a petition before CERC praying that they should be absolved from all the liabilities under the PPAs because of sudden change in Indonesian policy which resulted in increment in the price of coal. Now when this matter went up to the Supreme Court said, you know, in very specific terms, that doctrine of frustration under 56 cannot be applied because fundamental basis of the PPAs remains unaltered. The Supreme Court said that nowhere do the PPAs say that the coal has to be procured from Indonesia or from that specific place where there was some change in the policy. So it said that that is not the fundamental basis of the PPA. For you to invoke Section 56, for you to invoke frustration, you need to establish before the court that the fundamental basis of the contract has been altered. And that was, you know, not established in this particular case. And hence the court said that doctrine under 56 cannot be made applicable merely because there was some increment in the price of the coal due to sudden change in the policy of Indonesia. So now that's all about how economic hardship is different from frustration. Now one question that pops up here is whether hardship itself, be made a ground for claiming compensation for loss suffered due to turn of events which are beyond the control of the parties. What I mean to say is, can parties now use COVID-19 as hardship in performance of the contract? For that, we need to understand the law pertaining to hardship. So in India, we don't have any provision in the Indian Contract Act which deals with hardship. So when, you know, parties are agreeing to get into a contract and they don't have any clause as to how they'll be dealing with hardship, there's nothing, you know, courts can do. They'll simply enforce the terms of the contract because there's nothing in the Indian Contract Act which talks about hardship. However, you know, keeping aside the Indian Contract Act for a minute, we may see the hardship provisions in the Unidroit principles of international commercial contract. Now, before getting into what hardship is under Unidroit principles of international commercial contract or Unidroit PICC, we need to understand what Unidroit is and what is the principles of international commercial contract. Now, Unidroit is a private international body which, you know, works in the area of private international law. And principles of international commercial contracts is a document or a legal framework dealing with contract law prepared by Unidroit. Now let us see what is the applicability of this Unidroit PICC. So it says, the Unidroit PICC itself says, that when the parties have agreed to, you know, govern their contract by Unidroit PICC, then obviously Unidroit PICC shall be applicable. When the parties have agreed that the law governing the contract shall be, you know, principles of generally accepted principles of contract, then in such a scenario also Unidroit PICC shall be applicable, because Unidroit PICC has transformed itself into generally accepted principles of contract law or lex mercatoria. Now it also says that Unidroit PICC may be applicable to supplement the international contractual law and the domestic contractual law. So now in almost all the commercial contracts, we see a dispute resolution clause, and majority of such clauses have arbitration as the preferred dispute resolution mechanism. Now, arbitration is one such mechanism wherein party autonomy is the, you know, cornerstone. Everything runs on the principles of party autonomy in arbitration, which means that the parties are at liberty to opt for the law governing their contract. And in, you know, majority of the international commercial arbitrations, party are inclined towards opting for such a law which is uniform, which is flexible, like Unidroit principles of international commercial contract or CISG. And that is where the importance of Unidroit PICC comes into picture. Now, since we know that what is Unidroit PICC and what all contracts it's applicable on, let's see the hardship provisions under the Unidroit PICC. So it defines hardship as occurrence of event that has fundamentally altered the equilibrium of the contract, like either because of increment in the cost of performance or diminution of the value of the performance. It, you know, alters the equilibrium of the contract, then it would be qualified as hardship. Now it says that there are four factors which we need to see in order to see whether an event qualifies to be a hardship event or not. So it says, firstly, that the event must occur or become known to the party after the conclusion of the contract. Secondly, that the event could not reasonably have been taken into account at the time of the conclusion of the contract. Thirdly, the event must be beyond the control of the party. and thirdly, that such an event was not assumed by the party. Now, I'll explain you this with an illustration. For example, A agree to supply crude oil to B, and the crude oil has to be procured from a particular country, X. And A agrees to supply crude oil even though he knows that there are some political tensions in that particular country, X, in that particular region. And subsequently, war erupts in that particular region, which results in astronomical rise in prices of coal. And, you know, now A pleads that since there are astronomical rises in the price of coal, which has to be procured from that particular country due to eruption of war, he wants to invoke the principles of hardship under United PICC. Now, here, the thing is, there is alteration of equilibrium because the price of the coal has been increased due to eruption of war. But one thing which has to be, you know, considered here is that A agreed to supply crude oil even though he knew that there are political tensions in the particular region. And this is where the third factor of United PICC comes into picture. The third factor under the hardship principles comes into picture, which say that the event must not have been reasonably, you know, taken into account at the time of the conclusion of the contract. Here, by A, it was reasonably taken into account, you know, at the time of conclusion of the contract, because there was already political tension in that particular region. So this is why A cannot invoke the principle of hardship in order to, you know, get damages or whatever remedies prescribed under United PICC. So that was all about concept of hardship under United PICC. So if United PICC applies to your contract, then one of the party may very well plead the outbreak of COVID-19 as an event which qualifies to be hardship under the United PICC. So there are three possible scenarios. Firstly, if there's a force majeure clause in the contract and it includes in it, in very specific terms, an outbreak of epidemic, then COVID-19 would very well come under the ambit of the force majeure clause. If there's no force majeure clause, then the party may invoke Section 56 of the Indian Contract Act and, you know, may establish that the fundamental basis of the contract has been altered. And thirdly, as I said, if the United PICC applies, then it could also be pleaded as an event of hardship. Thank you so much, and thank you, Soumitra, for allowing me to contribute. Keep listening to this podcast. Thanks a lot.